Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Better. And so I believe that God's going to breathe new life on you in 2019. I really feel that. I feel that he's going to breathe new life on you, on our community, on our church, but also on you individually and the endeavors that he has laid before you. I believe he's going to breathe life on that, that he's going to give you a renewed vision, renewed hope, renewed faith, renewed purpose. Come on, renewed ministry and reach so you can touch others for the kingdom. I really believe that. Here's what I've come to realize as a pastor and really just as a follower of Jesus is that a lot of times it's not that we don't have vision. It's not that we don't have faith. It's not that we don't have hope. It's not that we don't have opportunity and dreams, but it's that life has a way of burying those things, that the obstacles that get in our way. Have a way of burying those hopes and those dreams and that vision, that sometimes people in your life have a way of burying those hopes, that vision, those dreams, that stuff just seems to happen. And honestly, maybe if you look at this picture that we have up here, that a lot of times it could feel like you're buried, that you're under it, that man, the weight of life is just heavy on you. But I want you to know something, that in 2019, I believe God's breathing new life on you, and you're gonna pop through those obstacles, you're gonna pop through that weight, you're gonna pop through, and you're gonna be like this little plant right there, and you're gonna have brand new life in you. Do you believe that this morning? I really believe that for you, and I want you to grab hold of that as we go into this new series here today, because here's the reality, that for a lot of us, this spiritual journey really comes back to a vision problem. It's not even so much a faith problem, that a lot of times it's a vision problem. Matter of fact, the Bible says this in Proverbs 29:18. It says that without vision, the people live carelessly. The Bible you're looking at today, your translation, depending on what it is, maybe it says that without revelation, the people live carelessly or without restraint. But literally it's this, it's that without vision, prophetic revelation, without vision in your life, you live carelessly, meaning you live without purpose, you live without meaning, you live without direction. But when you get vision for your life, come on, you begin to live with purpose. Are you with me this morning? And so a lot of times it's just, it's a vision problem. Well, as I was praying for 2019 and really praying for the church, and I was going through one of my Bible reading plans, I don't remember which one it was, I came across this verse, and I want to share it with you because I believe it's a word for Canvas Church for 2019, and it's found in Exodus chapter 34, verse 10. And it says, "And the Lord responded, 'Look, I am making a covenant. I will perform wonders in the presence of all your people.'" Isn't that a great verse? Let me read it to you this way. "And I'll perform wonders in the presence of Canvas Church." Can I personalize that? "I will perform wonders in the presence of San Diego." I love this next part. "That have never been done in all the earth or in any nation." Listen to that verse. I'm gonna do wonders in the presence of the people, but it's not just gonna be wonders that you've known before. Come on, it's gonna be something you've never seen, and nor has anyone seen, it says, in all the earth. Come on, Canvas Church, you with me this morning? Come on, God's gonna do wonders in Canvas Church that have never been seen before. I believe that for 2019. And when I say Canvas Church, I'm talking about you. Are you with me? I'm not just talking about right now. I'm talking about, you know, in this gathering. I'm talking about you. God's gonna do wonders among you. And here's the awesome part. All the people you live among will see the Lord's work. Isn't that awesome? Come on, it's not about our work. It's not about just, oh, look at the wonders he's doing in Canvas Church. Look at the wonders he's doing in those people's lives. The whole purpose is that they will see the Lord's work. It's all about him. It's not about a man. It's not about a church. It's not about us. It's not to draw attention to us and, well, look how great we are. No, the things that he's doing, man, they're going to do wonderful works amongst us. But here's the cool part. It's not even going to be about us. Come on, it's going to draw attention to the Lord's work. Are you with me? And then it gets better. Check this out. This might be my favorite part, actually, the whole verse. You said that the whole verse, Pastor. It's the Bible. It's all good. Listen now. "For what I'm doing with you is awe-inspiring." Isn't that awesome? You just need to highlight that and get that in your spirit. And every morning when you wake up, say, God, what you're gonna do with me today is gonna be awe-inspiring. God, what you're gonna do through my life as I go to my workplace, as I hang out with my friends, as I go to school, it's gonna be awe-inspiring. You need to get that in your spirit because I believe God's gonna do wonders amongst us. Here's the thing though, it's gonna be awe-inspiring, but here's the thing, some of you can't see it because there's a vision issue. And so what needs to happen is you need to have your vision renewed so that you can begin to see the things that God sees for you. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's go to the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read to you starting in verse 8, and we're going to read to the end of that chapter. Something you need to understand about the Bible is the Bible it has a couple different things in it. Has very much some description of how we're supposed to live as believers, especially when you get to the New Testament. And as you're reading the New Testament, it very much lays out, here's the life of a believer, and here's how you ought to live that life. But there's a large portion of scripture that is descriptive. It's narrative. It's describing what took place, okay? And so when you read that, it's a narrative of what took place then. But here's what I believe as your pastor. I believe that every single word in the Bible was God-breathed and God-inspired, and that it was put together for us so that we could read it, so that even in the narrative parts of scripture, there are keys that happened in that story that we can latch onto and apply to our life and say, that's what I need. Are you with me this morning? This is one of those narratives in scripture. 2 Kings chapter 6, gonna start in verse 8. And it says, when the king of Aram was waging war against Israel, he conferred with his servants, my camp will be at such and such a place. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, be careful passing by this place. For the Arameans are going down there. Consequently, the king of Israel sent word to the place the man of God had told him about. The man of God repeatedly warned the king so the king would be on his guard. The king of Aram was enraged because of this matter, and he called his servants and demanded of them, tell me, which one of us is for the king of Israel? One of the servants said, no one, my lord. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in your bedroom. That's a scary verse, isn't it? How many of you guys would like God revealed to Pastor Ben the words you speak in your bedroom? What's happening? This is what's happening. There's a battle going on, right? They're warring against Israel. And so the king that's going against Israel would set up plans to, hey, here's how we're going to attack them. But there is a prophet in Israel named Elisha, and God would speak to Elisha and say, hey, here's the plans they're devising. Go tell the king of Israel. So now the king of Israel knows, and so they avoid that whole entire thing. And the other king is so mad, he literally thinks that someone in his own army or in his own you know, council is telling the king of Israel what's going on. And so he calls him. He's like, hey, which one of you is blowing it for us? Right? Isn't that crazy? You know, we're a church here at Canvas that still believes that God speaks to his people. We believe in what's called the gifts of the Spirit, as seen in 1 Corinthians 12. And one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of prophecy. And there's the words of knowledge and words of wisdom. See, I, as your pastor and the pastors here, still believe that those are in operation today. That still happens, and they're there for the building up and the edification of the body of Christ. That words will come to us for people and maybe to you for people, and that still happens today so that you can go and encourage. But what's funny about that is I've had this happen before where someone will come forward for prayer and God will give me a word for them. And I'll just simply say, hey, you know what? I don't know if this is gonna make sense to you, but I just feel like God's saying this to me right now for you. And I'll tell them, and they'll just start bawling. I'm like, okay, I must be right. I guess crying means that I'm right. So, and so I tell them, And then like 2 days later, I'll bump into one of their friends. And one of their friends said, hey, pastor, I just need to let you know that you prayed for so-and-so, my friend, and everything you said was dead on. I'm like, that's great. Larry, no, you don't understand. I'm like, what? They came to me and were so mad at me because they thought I told you everything that was going on in their life so that you could pray over them. I'm like, wow, interesting. That's what's happening here. God's speaking. We still believe it happens today. And the king is enraged. Are you with me? King's mad. What verse are we in? Anybody know? 13, thank you. Someone's actually listening to the message. Thank you. So the king said, go and see where he is so I can send men to capture him. When he was told Elisha's in Dothan, he sent horses and chariots and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered the army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, oh, my master, what are we to do? And Elisha said, don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them. Come on, that's an awesome verse. Come on, some of you need to get that one right there. Those that are coming against us, no, they're outnumbered by those who are with us. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw that the mountain was covered with horses of chariots of fire all around Elisha. Come on, that's God's army. Right? He wakes up and he sees the problem and he sees the obstacle and he sees what's in front of him. And all of a sudden God renews his vision and he sees, wow, God really is on our side. Are you with me? It's a great, great passage. When the Arameans came against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, please strike the nation with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, according to Elisha's word. Then Elisha said to them, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you're looking for. He lied to them. I guess it was okay. And he led them to Samaria. When they entered Samaria, Elisha said, Lord, open the men's eyes. Let them see. So the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked and discovered they were in Samaria, which is not where they wanted to be, because those are the people they're fighting. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, should I kill them? I will kill them. Elisha said, don't kill them. Do you kill those you have captured with your sword or your bow? Set food and water in front of them so they can eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. The Aramean raiders did not come into Israel's land again. You hear that? Didn't come to Israel's land again. Some of you need to hear this morning. You are looking and all you see right now is the problem. You need a vision change so you can see that there are more that are for you and against you. And not only that, as you begin to see what God is doing in your life, what God is doing in your church, and what God is doing in your city, and you begin to see it, you'll begin to realize that guess what? Those enemies that were attacking you, they're not gonna come again. Are you with me this morning? Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that right now that your word would come alive in this place, that Lord, you'd help me preach and teach from this passage. God, I pray, Lord, that for those of us that need our vision renewed, you would do that this morning. And God, I pray you'd help me now just preach your word in such a way that they can encounter your son, Jesus, know your love, and live out the incredible plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. A couple of weeks ago, we shared with you, man, that come on, our church found a building, and we're so excited. And man, we're heading into that thing, and we're believing that God's gonna do miracles. Man, it's still a miracle in motion right now. You heard my wife sharing that we still need to raise $25,000 really in the next 10 days to continue to see this miracle take place. But let me just tell you this, the 50 that came in already, come on, that's a miracle. God is doing a miracle right now, and it's in motion. And so we're just believing and contending for this. And after I announced that though, man, I felt like just a weight come on me. And I started looking at all of the obstacles that were in our way. Like how in the world are we going to get this building? And not only that, if we get this building, I know it's 10 minutes down the road a little further. Who's it going to impact? And is so-and-so still going to come? Are they not going to come? Are people going to, you know, still like the theater better than a building? Weirdo. Are they... You know, like what are the obstacles? You know, I started looking and I started feeling the pressure coming on me as I was looking at this stuff and thinking about how we're going to do and what we're going to do. And then some personal things that are going on in our house as we're pursuing things and doing things. I just felt weighty. But you know, we got some incredible staff members. And one of our staff members happened to notice, Susan Hodo, one of our great staff members, she happened to see some of that weight on me and my wife. And so she came in one day, and I wasn't out there at the time, but she gave this right here to my wife and said, "You need to give this to Pastor Ben." Has anybody ever seen one of these before? All right, thank God for Staples, right? It's the easy button. And but she went ahead and she took a pen and she put on it, says, "With God, that was easy." So she sent it over to my wife and I opened it up and she had a card with it. And I read that card, just meant so much to us. And she just said, "Hey, anytime you feel like the weight that's coming on you, just press this button and remember that with God, that is easy."
That was easy.
Yeah. And so I want you to know right now that this is the most used device in our house right now. I mean, like we not only use it in our house, it's like, hey, it's in my pocket. It's just like, and every once in a while, I'm just like, okay, I just push it right
there.
It is.
That was easy.
And that was easy, right? And you know what I needed? Because my vision was set on the wrong thing. My vision was set on the problem. My vision was set on the obstacles. My vision looked up and said, man, there is a great army surrounding us. And yet I just needed someone in my life. I needed one of the staff members to come along and say, you know what you need? You need a vision change. And as soon as my vision began to change, as soon as I began to realize that, you know what? This whole thing's a miracle anyway. So even if we get in, it's gonna be a miracle. It's all on God. And as soon as my vision began to change, man, my confession began to change. We see here in this passage that Elisha's servant needed a vision change. He needed to see things the way God saw them. So let me just share with you a few things out of this passage, how our vision is renewed, because God wants to renew your vision because he wants to do awe-inspiring things in and through your life this year. Renewed vision happens, number one, with the help of others. Renewed vision happens with the help of others. Elisha's servant walks out on his own and sees the army coming against him, sees the problem. It's not until Elisha gets involved that his vision is changed. We need others in our life to have our vision renewed. Listen, this journey that you're on, this spiritual journey you're on, was never meant to be lived in seclusion. It was never meant for you to just live it on your own, just trying to get by and just trying to get through. And just, you need somebody on your side that when you don't see what God is doing and you don't see what God has put in front of you, you need somebody else to come along and say, "Hey, I know you don't see it yet, but you got to hear this. There are more that are for you than are against you." You need those people on your side. You need that person on your side, because believe you me, you're gonna have a moment in this spiritual journey where you're gonna come against a problem, you're gonna come against an obstacle, and you're not gonna see the answer, and you're not gonna see the solution, and you're not gonna see what God's doing. So therefore, you need someone to come alongside you and say, "Hey, God's got you. He's gonna open your eyes, and you're gonna see this thing clearly." You were not meant to live this spiritual journey alone. Listen, I've said it time and time again, and I'll say it again right now. That I've had people come and say, "Ben, I don't need the church." I'm sorry, you do need the church. You might not need Sunday morning. Listen to what I'm saying. You might not need Sunday morning, but you need the church. You need people on your side. You need people in your corner. This journey was not meant to live alone. See, too many people associate Sunday morning as church. Sunday morning is just a small portion of church, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a small portion of what we do. We come together and we worship. Man, I love this part. Come on, wasn't worship great this morning? Wow, it was great worshiping Jesus together and having an opportunity to do that and partake and, man, hear a message. That's awesome. But this is just a small part of church. I believe some of the greatest moments of church are lived outside of Sunday morning when you're in community with people and you're doing life with people and you're around people that are pursuing Christ with you. I tell the people, all I need is my Bible and Jesus. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Your Bible and Jesus equals weird. Yeah. And I mean it. Some of you get offended by that. Well, sorry. It's true. You need somebody else with you, walking the journey, helping you see what you don't see. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have what we call small groups. You heard on the news, man, we're launching small groups next week. Yeah. You ain't plugged into a small group yet, a community yet, you are missing out on some of the greatest moments of the church. Yeah. I really mean that. You need to come next week and you need to find one and you need to plug into one, man, to help walk out this thing called spirituality, called Christianity. And you come and don't even wait till next week. Go online and look right now. And maybe you'll see, I don't see one that fits my schedule. I don't see one that fits, you know, what I'm really interested in. You know what that means? That means God's calling you to start a small group. Well. That's what it means. Because God brought you to this church. Oh, I don't see a small group for me. That's because you haven't started it yet. You think I'm joking? I'm not. We'll get you trained. We'll get you equipped. He said, but I don't know if I could lead a small group. This is how easy it is to lead a small group. Open up your home, have people over, fellowship with them, and talk about Jesus. What? That's that easy? It's that easy. Well, what if I don't know what to talk about with Jesus? Talk about the message from the week before. Talk about what he's doing in your life right now. Open up a scripture and read it. It's all good, right? You need to be. You need the church. This spiritual journey was not meant for you to live alone. Man, vision is renewed when you get around other people with the help of others. Acts 2:46, the New Testament church says they met house to house. Hebrews 10:25 encourages us, don't forsake the gathering of believers together. Get in, get around. Elisha just came alongside, said, man, I know you don't see it yet, but I'm telling you right now, there are more for you than are against you. Small groups are a great opportunity. I have another great opportunity. This Thursday night, my wife did it, I think back in December. She said, hey ladies, come hang out with me at the Starbucks on Carmel Mountain and right by the Best Buy from this. We're doing it this Thursday night, guys, okay? And there's no excuses, just get there. I had somebody this morning after the first service say, pastor, I'm gonna ask if I can get off work early because I wanna come hang out. I'm like, yes, absolutely. It's what happens when we hang out. Man, something powerful happens. And so I want to encourage you guys, this Thursday night, 7 o'clock, come hang out. What are we going to do? Well, we're at Starbucks. We're probably going to drink coffee. Or hot chocolate. Yes. If you're a backslider. Or tea, you know, or water because we're fasting. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now come hang out and just be around some other people. I'm telling you, you'll see your vision start to get renewed. Elisha comes alongside and says, man, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Man, vision is renewed with the help of others. Number two, vision is renewed when we stop looking at the problem. Vision is renewed when we stop looking at the problem. I love what Elisha does. Elisha not only comes alongside of him, he encourages him. And before the servant can actually see it with his own eyes, he just comes along and encourages the servant, says, hey, don't be afraid. There are more for us than against us. And I keep going back, like somebody needs to get that in their spirit this morning. I don't know what the problem is, what the circumstance is, what you're facing right now, but you need to get your eyes off of that. And you need to get your eye, are you with me? You need to get your eyes off of the problem. Get your eyes off of the problem. I don't know what it is about humanity that we are geared towards the negative. Now, some of us are like that on steroids, right? But I was a psychology major in at university, And man, one of the things in studying that, it's just like a natural bent. We're just geared towards, let me prove it to you. How many of you guys, you had a meeting coming up and it was one you weren't looking forward to? Only two of you. The rest of you are liars, which is a negative quality. See, I just proved it. And you rehearse that meeting over and over in your mind. But very rarely are we rehearsing it towards the positive. You think, come on, let's be honest. You think through all of the negative things that are going to happen and how you're going to counter that and you're going to get your jab in. Right? All right. We're just geared towards the negative. And we're so focused on all the reasons we can't and why this won't work. I found myself there after I said, we got a building. And then like that night, I was like, oh my God, this is never going to work. This is never going to happen. And then I just was like,
that was easy.
Some of us, man, we it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be anything. And all of a sudden we're just like, well, yeah, we'll see if that really happens. Well, we'll see if that really comes to pass. We'll see if they really keep their word. I'm excited about the new building, Pastor, but they probably don't have cushy seats like this. Probably don't have a big screen. We need to get our eyes off the problem. Some of us aren't doing anything great for God, aren't taking any risks for God and doing anything big or even small for that matter because we're so focused on all the reasons we can't. We need to get our eyes off the reasons why we can't and get our eyes on the God who can. We just need to switch it and stop looking. Oh, man, this is why we can't. No, we just need to switch and say, no, it looks like we can't, but I know a God who can. Are you with me this morning? See, it's not about positive thinking. It's not even about positive influence. I love all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But it's not about exchanging all the reasons we can't. Like, I need to think happy thoughts, happy thoughts, happy thoughts, happy thoughts. It's not about happy thoughts. It's not about exchanging all the reasons I can't for let's make a list of pros and cons. No, we don't need a list of pros and cons. There's only one pro, and his name is Jesus. We just switch out. I'm not going to focus on I'm going to focus on God. Just switch that. Not on a bunch of things, but just him. And we switch that out. And all of a sudden, we watch the God of miracles do the miracles. Right? Are you with me this morning? Do the miracle right before our eyes. And I'll just be honest with you as your pastor. Man, for about the last, I'm a faith guy. You can ask my wife, those that know me are around me. I'm just like, what if we did? And we can do this. And come on. Right? This is who I am. But for the last 2 years or so, I just feel like I've been playing it safe. I'll be honest with you. I don't even think this journey we're on right now together is about a building. I really don't. I think it's about where he's taking us in 2019. That he wants to do something awe-inspiring in us. And so he just said, oh, they've been asking for a building. Here's one. Let's see what happens. See if they take the leap. And your pastor was like, you know what? I've been playing it safe for a while. Let's leap. Let's try to raise $250,000 in 45 days. That's a leap. Yeah. And I've already told them the building's theirs. So God, you're going to look bad, not me. Right? Those are the conversations I'm having with God. Hey, God, if this thing goes south, you got me, right? But I'm telling you right now, this is just the inroad. We're going to take greater risks in 2019. Come on, we're going to leap out in faith in 2019. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about more souls. It's about more people. It's about doing the work of ministry. This is not for Canvas Church. This is for San Diego. This is for reaching the nearly 4 million people, come on, that live in our county, that many of them need to know the name of Jesus. Are you with me today, church? Let's jump out and let's risk and let's not focus on all the reasons we can't. Let's focus on the God who can. Amen. Let's not look at the problems. Let's look at him and let's step out and let's see what God does. Hallelujah. Because I really believe he's going to do something awe-inspiring. Let me finish with this. Have our vision renewed. You not only need some other people in your life. You not only need to stop looking at the problem. Lastly, you need to pray. Vision gets renewed in prayer. And I love what Elisha does. Elisha is such a great leader because he not only comes alongside the servant and says, buddy, it's okay. We're gonna make it. This is going to happen, okay? It's gonna be all right. Here's what you need to do. You need to understand that you're looking at the problem right now, but what you need to know is there's more that are for us than against us. But he doesn't stop there. He does what a great leader should do, and he brings him to a place of prayer. And Elisha begins to pray for the servant, and he says, God, open up his eyes so that he can renew his vision. I know he's scared. I know he's afraid. I know he feels like the weight of the world is on him as he's looking at whatever it is he's facing, whatever it is you're facing. Listen to me, though. You just need to have happen what he had. You need your vision renewed and begin to see, man, I know it doesn't look like my marriage is that great right now. No, you need your vision renewed, and you need to know there are greater moments in your marriage than there are challenging moments in your marriage. See, some of you are so focused on the challenging moments. And see, that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to magnify all the problems and all the obstacles in your life so that all of a sudden they seem they're insurmountable and they're so big. And I don't know how this is going to happen, but you need to get your eyes off that. And all of a sudden God says, look, it's not that big. If you look over here, you're going to see there's more that are for you than are against you. You need to know this. There are more great things about your marriage than there are bad things. Somebody needs to hear that right now. There. Listen to me. I know you might be facing some health stuff, but listen to me. I know a God in heaven who in one moment can heal your body. Amen. What are you facing? He says, God, open his eyes so he can see. And his eyes were opened and he saw the chariots. God's gonna open up some of your eyes right now so that you can see. He has you surrounded. That you might think you're surrounded by the enemy, but surrounding the enemy is an army mighty and bigger than anything you're facing right now. And all you need to do is pray. But that's what's so great about being in a community, because you're gonna find yourself in moments where all you see is the problem and you don't pray, but you need somebody else to pray for you. I was there just 3 days ago, facing all of the weight of this thing, just life. And I was talking to my wife and she goes, Ben, you know what we need to do? We need to pray. And I was like, stop it. I am the pastor of this church. And you know what I said to her? I looked at her and said, I can't pray. I said, I don't have it in me. I don't have the words. I can't pray. So you know what this great leader did? She said, I got it. And she started to pray. And by the time she got done praying, man, I felt renewed. I felt energized. And I saw the army of the Lord surrounding us. And I walked away encouraged. So even your pastor has those moments where I'm like, I got no words. I got nothing in me. I don't. But because I've got a great wife and a great team, I didn't even go to Saturday morning prayer yesterday. Pastor. But you know what? I have people praying for me. And as we head into the greatest hour and the greatest moment of our church, listen to me, don't please hear what I'm saying. It's not about a building. You're gonna hear me talking about it because that's real time. That's where I'm at right now. It's where God has challenged me and I'm leaping out. So if you get tired of hearing about it, I'm sorry, this is just real time. This is where God has me right now. This is the obstacle I'm looking at. But I know that we're going to enter the greatest moments, the greatest seasons of leaping out in faith and reaching more people. But Pastor, it's 10 more minutes further from my house. I know you got to understand the miracle that God's doing. Plus, you need to stop looking at the problem. Get yourself an electric vehicle. You got to understand. You got to know this miracle that's taking place. The people called us and asked us. I have a friend that meets right over here in a middle school, Thurgood Marshall Middle School. Been going for 16 years. Great church, bigger than us. And for the last 6 years, they've been looking for a building. And because they're at a pretty sizable place now, they can't move wherever. They've been looking for 6 years for a building in this area. And the community, whoever oversees the community said, hey, look, we're never gonna approve another church in this area. We're done. We master planned it, there's churches. We're not gonna do it. He said, Ben, you're out of size right now where you just need to, you need to go where God's taking you. Get there, get a building. This is a miracle that's happening. They came looking for us. And not only that, you gotta hear this part. There were four other offers that were offering more than what we're offering. One of them, $500,000 more than what we're offering. Three of them were all cash offers. True story. Three of them all cash offers. And the pastor of that church that's selling it to us looked at the broker and said, I think this needs to be Canvas Church's building. Who turns down $500,000 more, all cash, for a church that's just trying to raise $250,000? If I was in those pastor's shoes, it would happen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.